Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Driver from the belt, the pitch. Herrera swings and he drives it. That's deep left center field. That ball's going to get down. It goes to the wall. One run scores. Two runs are going to score. Here comes a third. The throw to the plate. It won't be there in time. A three RBI hit, a double for Herrera, and the Cardinals have the lead here of 6-2.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great name.
Yo, Paulie!
What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
And so the Cardinals go on the road. They take two of three from the Kansas City Royals, and now they are back home tonight. It's the Detroit Tigers in town, a team that leads their division by five games. The Detroit Tigers are 31-16. So this will be a tough one for the Birds in the next three nights at Busch, as the Cardinals are five games over 500. We welcome in Matt Pauly, host of Sports Open Line and the Redbird Rush Hour, which happens at 5 o'clock when Cardinals baseball does not get in the way. So there's going to be some Redbird Rush Hour today at five, Matt.
There will be. And you buried the lead on the Tigers. Not only do they lead the division, they've got the best record in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, by 660.
They're two games better than both the Mets and the Dodgers. I mean, this is a team that's on fire right now.
I mean, they're going to let their guard down.
Hopefully.
That's what I think.
Well, I think they think,
oh, we're going to be okay. The Cardinals are struggling. They think that they're going to come in, get swept.
I mean, nobody's left from that 2006 Tigers team, so they probably don't have any.
I mean, it is 2025, so that would be pretty remarkable.
The horses aren't alive from Braveheart. Braveheart, you think anyone's there from 2006?
No, so they don't come in here thinking, oh my God, this is the worst place in the world.
No,
we're going to die.
That's
no,
why
they
they're
going to
let their guard down. They don't know.
Right. Don't know anything about that. So,
anyway.
2-3 from KC. I mean, that's a team that had been playing well. At least the record reflects that they had been playing well for a lot of the season. So, look, the Cardinals are four games under 500 on the road. That's not ideal, but they have improved that record from where it was earlier in the year. So, they're playing better away from home. It's nice to come back home, though, even though it's against the Tigers.
Yeah, I'm not worried about their road record at all. I mean, they had that really, really tough start, and now since then, they split the four-game series against the Reds, which was good. They take 2-3 from the Phillies. They sweep the Nationals. They take 2-3 from the Royals. So the road record is completely fine, and they're playing good baseball on the road. And that's really tough. I mean, for them to go on a three-city road trip, and those are tough trips when you're gone for that long. And they played pretty strong baseball all the way till the end. So good to take 2-3 from Kansas City. Good to get back home. And this, like we said, this is a really good Detroit team they're going to match up against. The schedule has let up a bit for them, but not for these 3 days, as Detroit is a really good team, and they're going to face off against some good pitching over the course of this year. We'll see. You know, I guess the weather is the only thing that's a little bit of a thing here, and we'll see if that adjusts who they may see. But the fact that game two, you're going to see Tarik Skubal, and then it's going to be Jack Flaherty, who's scheduled to go on Wednesday, and it's going to be interesting to see what kind of reception he gets from Cardinal fans. So I think it's going to be a fun few days.
What do you think that'll be?
I think it's going to be mostly cheers, because that's how Cardinals fans are, but there are definitely some people out there who do not like him. I'll be interested in like the crowd size overall.
Yeah.
I would guess the larger the crowd, the more cheers there are for Flaherty.
It's a day game, too.
It is a day game, which probably is not great in terms of attendance. But, yeah, I mean, look, it'll be good to see Jack Flaherty back. He had some really, really good moments for the Cardinals, obviously, and he had some not-so-great moments as well. But he's gone on, and he's really kind of been fixed, and he's put things together here over the last couple of years.
I think he's going to get a rousing round of applause.
Okay.
I think it's going to be 99.9% positive.
That's a lot. I don't know. I mean, there are still a lot of people who do not like Jack Flaherty.
Are they at the game, though?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Probably.
They're probably Cardinal just fans. On Twitter.
Yeah, they're probably just being mean on Twitter.
I mean, there's no reason to, like, boo the guy. He's,
I feel like, Matt's getting mad at me for this for this conversation. No, I there's not. I think Cardinals fans in the stadium tend to be pretty generous and kind, I think.
I would agree with that.
Well, look at us patting ourselves on our
Philly.
Back.
We're not throwing batteries at people. We're not booing Santa Claus.
You know, sometimes I kind of wish we were a battery throw in town.
Gosh, don't say that.
It would really spicing it up, wouldn't it, Matt?
No, it would not.
Okay. I'm not condoning throwing batteries.
You better
want
to clarify that, doofus?
I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying if it did happen, we'd be an exciting town,
I think.
Matt,
he is a
liability.
Quote,
Chris Ranji, sometimes I wish we were a battery throwing town. I'm not condoning it. I wish for it, but I'm not condoning it.
I'm not telling you to do it.
There's a difference between wishing for something and condoning it.
I'm not telling you to do it.
No,
I'm just saying, wouldn't we be more fun if we were one of those kinds of towns?
No.
If we were the booing Santa Claus type, throwing snowballs at the officials, if we were that kind of town?
I'm glad we're not. Yeah. We've won more World Series not being that kind of town.
Well, that's not why we won.
I think it is. Anyway, I do think winning series, speaking of winning series, winning a series like going to Kansas City, winning 2 out of 3, coming home... To me, that feels like that slow climb to progress where you could put yourself in a really good position later in the season.
I mean, I think they're perfectly fine where they're at right now. And I don't know what's going to happen here. They're 2 games back of the Cubs. I've mentioned this a lot. The Cubs right now are playing a historically bad stretch of schedule. If you haven't, this is their from May 12th to June 5th. This is who they're playing. Excuse me. They're playing Miami, White Sox, Miami again, Cincinnati, Colorado, Cincinnati, Washington. So if the Cardinals don't keep up with the Cubs between now and June 5th, I'm not worried about it whatsoever because of who the Cubs are playing. But the Cardinals are in a good spot. If they just keep doing what they've been doing and play the style of baseball they've been playing, it's all going to be fine in the end.
Had a caller at the old sports station. You know what he would call that? That stretch of baseball, the teams they're playing? He'd call it garbage.
Hot garbage. All right.
Hot garbage. It is. They're really bad. They just swept the Sox, who are terrible.
Yeah.
So, not getting any help from Miami. You're not going to get any help from Washington. So,
and Miami just took 2 of 3 from Tampa. They're not going to win back-to-back series.
No, come on, man.
Yeah.
Because if they do, that'll start the turnaround.
Yeah.
For the Marlins.
Big time baseball renaissance down there in Miami happening.
When do they...
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Play the Rockies because that team is, speaking of terrible, that is an absolute trash fire.
Did you think that so soon after the White Sox embarrassing season that we would see a team that's even worse?
The Rockies have won 8 games.
What are they on pace to win?
They are 30-0 games under .500.
They deserve this. I worked in the Rockies organization for years. I was part of their AAA broadcast crew in Colorado Springs for a good number of years. So I had a front row seat to the dysfunction that is Colorado Rockies baseball. This is an organization that it's amazing. What's amazing is they do the dumbest things, yet they think they're the smartest organization in the world. It's remarkable. It's like somebody who's really drunk at night and like just thinks that they are the life of the party and everybody wants them to get out of there. They think they know what they're doing and they don't. I remember doing this interview once with this guy. He had no baseball experience whatsoever. I'm not going to say the guy.
Why? What does it matter? What's he going to do?
He's not in baseball anymore.
Oh.
I don't know. His experience in baseball had been like he was a ticketing intern with the Memphis Redbirds at one point, and then he literally like laid cable for like the power company, and now he's like he's a vice president of something for the Rockies, and he's always in Colorado Springs, and he's always in the manager's office. So we would interview these people, and I would ask him baseball questions. I did like a 10 or 11 minute interview with him. I swear I'm not making this up. I can still find the interview. 8 or 9 times when I ask him a baseball question, he doesn't have an answer. So he looks at me and he says, at the end of the day, our job is to give Walt Weiss the ability to win a World Series in Denver. Like, that's all. They don't know what they're doing. They have people who have no clue what they're doing, yet they think they do. So, yes, this is a Rockies team that deserves everything that's happening to them right now.
Does this stem down from the owners Chuck and Dick?
Yeah. So Dick Monfort is the guy who's really in charge there, and he made his money in like the meatpacking business, and he's independently wealthy. But he just, he's a terrible owner. He is okay. A terrible owner. You know, during the pandemic, they fired all their clubhouse guys, and then they took their baseball analytics folks and sent them into the clubhouse, and literally were having them do laundry during the pandemic. So nothing against doing laundry. Like, that's not the point that I'm trying to make. But the point is they fired their clubhouse people and then made people who had a job doing something that's pretty important. I just forget about the analytics. We don't need that. But we do need our laundry done. So why don't you head to the clubhouse for these few months? I mean, it is remarkable the things that they do.
Okay. So I know that Walt Weiss was the manager between 2013 and 16. I'm going to find out who was in the front office other than Jeff Breidich. I think he was there. It might have been him. Yeah.
It was not Jeff Breidich, although I'm not a fan of his either.
Okay. All right. Well, Matt Pauly will be listening in to the Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock, then the pregame show at 5:50. First pitch, 6:45, Cardinals and Tigers tonight. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Sorry, I took it off the rails for Colorado Rockies talk.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See
ya. You can make your candle shine brighter by blowing out other people's candles.
Yes, you sure can. Do you know how bad you got to be 20 and a half games under 500 at this point of the year? Woof.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A 3-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.